I call this meeting of the House Commerce Committee to order. We do have a quorum. The first item on the agenda, members, is approval of the minutes for March 22nd. May I have a motion for the approval of the March 22nd minutes?
Yeah.
Representative Perryman?
So moved.
Thank you. Representative Perryman moves approval of the March 22nd minutes. Any discussion or corrections? Hearing none, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any, oops, I'm assuming nobody's opposed. Opposed, sorry. The motion prevails and the minutes for March 22nd, 2024 are approved. Next, we have the approval of the March 25th minutes. Representative Kraft, would you like to move the March 25th minutes?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is it because we locked eyes there for a second? I'd move their approval.
Representative Kraft moves approval of the minutes for March 25th, 2024. Any discussion to those minutes, members? Hearing none, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails, and the minutes for March 25th, 2024 are approved. Next on the agenda is House File 4757 from Chair Stevenson. Chair Stevenson will move that House File 4757 be re-referred to the State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee. And Chair Stevenson, you will also move the DE1 amendment. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Those are, in fact, my motions. With the adoption of the DE1 amendment, House File 4757 will become the cannabis omnibus bill for this year, making a variety of changes to the cannabis legalization bill that we passed last year. The vast majority of the bill, this committee has already heard either as part of the agency's proposal or in the bills we heard on Monday. I will just note a few things that are different altogether that weren't in any of those bills that are included here. First is a provision that allows THC beverages to be sold tap under the current registration provision. So we are currently under what we called the temporary regs when we passed the bill last year. There's a permanent licensing regime that comes into effect in a couple years. And under existing law, THC beverages can be on tap under that permanent licensure. But during the temporary regulations phase, we did not include language last year allowing beverages to be on tap, so we make that change to be in conformity. There are several small changes made to employee testing provisions. Those provisions were heard in the Labor Committee and then sent to us and included in this bill. We changed the name from temporary license to license pre-approval in the agency's proposal related to temporary licensure, which we're now calling license pre-approval. And we made that change just to reflect the fact that those pre-approvals don't actually allow people to sell plants or grow plants. It just kind of is a sign that you will get a license down the road. So pre-approval, I think, is a better description for what we're talking about here. Other than that, I believe all of the provisions. We did do the packaging thing. Excuse me. Other than that, I think everything, it was either in the bill or in the agency's proposal. So, Madam Chair, I know there are testifiers and happy to give up my space to them.
Very good. First on the list, we have Charlene Briner, the interim director of the Office of Cannabis Management. She will be followed by Jeff Taylor from Beeswax. So I'm going to come down, introduce yourself for the record, and proceed with your testimony. And then, Mr. Taylor, you can take the next chair as well. Welcome back to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Chair Stevenson and members. For the record, I'm Charlene Briner. I'm serving in the role of interim director at the Office of Cannabis Management. I want to thank you, Chair Stevenson and Madam Chair, for the inclusion of so many of the proposals OCM brought forward this session. We've made these recommendations based on the input of more than 5,000 survey responses, dozens of meetings with community, research into outcomes in other states, and the technical expertise of our implementation team of subject matter experts. We welcome in particular the inclusion of our recommendations to strengthen social equity provisions, including license pre-approval, the change to ownership percentage requirements, and the removal of the requirement for an applicant to secure a building before applying for a license in order to mitigate financial risk. Additionally, we appreciate the inclusion of a more equitable, well-vetted lottery system that also allows OCM the ability to conduct the pre-approved license process and create an early mover advantage for social equity applicants. We acknowledge this committee has heard concerns about this provision in previous testimony, but we would be remiss if we did not acknowledge that a merit-based point system has been used in many states and has not yet achieved the social equity outcomes anticipated in Chapter 342. We are committed to working with this body, with the chair, with advocates and industry experts to build the right system for Minnesota to achieve our shared equity goals, including working to tighten strategies to protect against the shared concerns we have about manipulative and predatory practices. We appreciate streamlining of license types, Mr. Chair, but we maintain further streamlining at the point of cultivation remains a critical component in our efforts to control costs, steer people away from the illicit market, and effectively regulate the industry. And finally, while we support the distinction and appreciate the responsible parties for the distinction in responsible parties for background checks, I would note that there is some additional clarification needed in this process to support effective coordination with the BCA. We are extremely grateful for your partnership, and we look forward to continuing to work with you on our shared goals to effectively regulate, launch, and oversee Minnesota's thriving new cannabis industry. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Taylor.
My name is Jeff Taylor. So sometimes it's tough for us to come up here because I just speak from the heart and I speak from what I see out in the industry. So I try not to upset this side and I try not to upset that side. So I'm just saying things that I see and people talk to me in the open industry, okay? So there's a few things that I wanted to talk about. One of them is early cultivation. I brought it up the other day, and I just wanted to talk about the timelines one more time. When we start from the beginning to the end, we're about 12 to 14 months out, just so everybody understands that. And there's no market out there that has opened up and has had too much product, not one in the country so far. So we do need to start cultivating sooner than later. The second thing is flower. You know, like we've legalized this roughly, a year ago roughly, and there's flower out in the market right now. And they're starting to actually take that down, which most people are respecting that. But the tough thing is you've legalized something and nobody knows where to go and get it now unless they want to drive 3.5 hours away. I'm assuming that there's something out there that we can offer temporary licenses where people can get it in town instead of going to the streets. And this isn't a money grab for me. I will donate 100% of our proceeds to schools, treatment centers, police. It doesn't matter. 100% of our profits. I will not take a dollar from that. But we need to do something so these people have a safe place to get the product in town right now that has COAs that's tested and it's not from the streets with fentanyl. The other thing that I want, and it's obviously the touchiest subject in here is social equity. And it's a hard subject to touch on. And I'm not going to speak too much on it because I don't want to touch certain people's spots that they don't like. But the only thing that I do want to say is there's some of us that have been operating in the market that you need to take into consideration also and have done things the right way and tried to live and help everybody out when it does come to some of those things. Thank you for your time. You guys have a good day.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Next we have Ted Gallaty, and then followed by Travis Cullen. You can introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hello again. My name is Ted Gallaty. I'm the owner of Willis Keep Farm in Zimbardo, Minnesota. So I'm here upon God's request, actually. So last year when adult cannabis bill was being voted on the House floor, it occurred to me that the intent of DFL legislators, including Governor Walz, was to grow big government, big cannabis. Well, it looks like the DFL has succeeded. The passing of HF 100 allowed government agencies to balloon their budgets without a definite windfall of taxes to support. Medical marijuana and tribal government sales do not generate state taxes. Meanwhile, Minnesota will retain a robust, unregulated cannabis market, 8 plants per household. Mark my words, the DFL adult use cannabis bill will fail. The state of Minnesota will not be able to raise enough taxes to support the budget increases of over $80 million annually. The state of Minnesota will then come after the taxpayers by raising property and income taxes to support the DFL big government. After the passing of the two cannabis bills last session, our legislators had 3 conference committee hearings in which they did not let the public speak. In the end, the legislators provided 2 medical marijuana providers in the state with everything they wanted. Green Thumb Incorporated and Vario Health, known as the Medical Marijuana Mafia, were granted recreational licensing, unlimited canopy growth, CBD sales, hemp biomass concentrate trait acquisition. Meanwhile, hemp growers and hemp businesses are pushed to the side and unable to have dual licensing. Hemp businesses are being stripped of federally legal hemp-derived consumer products, while backroom deals are going on as we speak with big cannabis in the state of Minnesota. It is evident the DFL party is bought and paid for. Conclusion. Cannabis is a plant that was given to us by God. It is clear that God's intent for the cannabis plant was for healing, both physically and spiritually. For thousands of years, that is what cannabis has been used for. Tel Arad, an ancient Jewish temple in Israel, shows cannabis being used as a burnt offering. There was enough THC, CBD, and CBN present to show that it evoked spiritual visions. The anointing oil in the Bible contained cannabis, the Hebrew word cannabosum. Why does the DFL care about money? We should care about people. Matthew 6:24 clearly states, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Go ahead, have your mammon and have your riches.
Thank you, Mr. Galati, and I apologize for mispronouncing your name. Mr. Cullen, you can introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony, and Laili Fatihi is next.
My name is Travis Cullen. I own Freedom Soda, THC Beverage, and I also own a tobacco store where I sell low-potency items. I was able to get in the industry through your cutting-edge low-potency law, and I'm deeply grateful. I love the OCM bill that you put forward, and the reason I am so passionate about this, the marijuana laws have affected me greatly. I grew up in St. Louis Park, and I'm 41 years old as I sit here today. I have spent 9 years incarcerated for marijuana. I started at a young age. At 14, I got set up selling a quarter pound of marijuana. This resulted in probation in the Hennepin County whole youth system, where basically you're on probation your whole childhood back in the 90s. For dirty UAs and ADHD, my love of smoking marijuana, I didn't want to take Ritalin. I smoked a lot of weed. I ended up in the county homeschool my senior year at 17, so I graduated high school in the county homeschool. And then when I was released, year 2000, I was 18, not on probation. Coming from a lower family, middle-class family, you know, working class, I made some money. I started in the black market selling marijuana. I got busted with a 700-pound load in 2004. I received 111 months as a first-time felon in federal court in the Minneapolis courthouse. I've been free 10 years now. I'm sick of incarceration. I'm extremely grateful for everything that you guys have done and recognizing that social equity is important. I am very pained that the federal system still has people like Edwin Rubis and Parker Coleman locked up for marijuana with 60-year sentences and 40-year sentences while people in privilege are making billions of dollars. I appreciate Minnesota recognizing social equity. It's a huge step. Thank you. I appreciate this, and let's continue. I think we should incentivize businesses to help felons, like a dispensary that's already running. It should be like if you help a dude that's been in jail for a long time, we should give them a business break or something. Incentives to help businesses. Incentives like if you're a dispensary and you got wheelchair people in there working, you should get a break or something. And I love everything you're doing. Thank you. You're great.
Thank you for sharing your story, Mr. Cullen. Ms. Fatihi. Sorry. Fatihi.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Laili Fatihi, and I serve as the director of the Minnesota Cannabis Resource Center. Our mission is to advance a safe, equitable, and thriving cannabis industry in Minnesota by championing the principles that guided Minnesota's cannabis legalization. The Minnesota model has exemplified a pioneering spirit in cannabis legalization. By prioritizing local businesses, especially social equity applicants and microbusinesses, we've laid the groundwork for an equitable, inclusive, and community beneficial industry. This approach has not only fostered a diverse cannabis economy, but it also shields us from the disruptive influence of multi-state operators, MSOs, ensuring our market remains of the people, by the people, and for the people of Minnesota. Today, I'm focusing my comments on critical aspects of our licensing framework that are central to our local Minnesota-based cannabis businesses and stakeholders and to the integrity of the Minnesota model. Those aspects are licensing caps and sequencing and the evaluation of merit for licensing, whether as part of a pre-qualification round prior to a lottery or as part of an application scoring for merit-based awarding of licenses. We have significant concerns about imposing numerical caps on licenses, which risk stifling growth of the cannabis market, potentially creating artificial scarcities that favor larger established operators over smaller local entrepreneurs. Such caps can raise barriers to entry, limit diversity and innovation in the industry, and make it prohibitively expensive or competitive for new entrants to secure a license. At the heart of the Minnesota model is a systematic approach to integrating businesses of increasing scale into the market based on an assessment of supply adequacy against market demand. It highlights the gradual, methodical progression from prioritizing micro businesses to potentially introducing larger operations as dictated by the market's need. This approach prevents large businesses and MSOs from controlling our market supply at the start, artificially constraining supply to take advantage of the resulting high prices, to then manufacture justification for their future lobbying efforts to raise the canopy at which they can operate. This approach supports the flourishing of Minnesota-based businesses, especially social equity applicants and microbusinesses, by prioritizing their ability to service the state's demand for cannabis and cannabis products, and then judiciously opening doors for larger operators as necessary. This approach ensures that our cannabis market remains accessible and equitable and reflective of our community values. But a critical benefit of this approach is also that it produces a decentralized and distributed supply chain of cannabis and cannabis products across Minnesota, ensuring that no single business failure can disrupt the entire state's market. This approach minimizes potential shocks and maintains steady availability of products for consumers statewide.
You could wrap up your testimony,
please. Yes. Furthermore, it circumvents the need for government to pick winners and losers based on business plans. And as when it comes to the issue of merit, it's important that we be considered that the criteria for merit under either a qualified lottery or a scored evaluation are written in a way that does not make it so that only MSOs are able to meet those qualifications for being meritorious to receive a license.
Thank you. Finally, are there any members of the public who wish to testify on this bill today? Seeing none, we will move to amendments. Chair Stevenson is going to move the A2 amendment. If you could give us the description when you are ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do move the A2 amendment. So the legislation from the law that we passed last year includes emerging farmers in the definition of social equity applicants. The OCM proposal struck that language and replaced it with a different concept around emerging farmers. This replaces the existing emerging farmer language with new emerging farmer language that has been considered and adopted in the Ag Committee here in the House.
Okay. Members, any discussion to the A2 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A2 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Representative O'Driscoll, would you like to move and describe the A3 amendment to the amendment?
I think, Madam Chair, I do move the A3 amendment. And based on testimony that we've heard in this committee relative to product placement and to not wanting to put product in certain places to influence underaged users and the like, I'm offering the A3 amendment that just tightens up some of the language about product placement. And I would ask the bill author to accept that.
Mr. Chair, you have an oral amendment to the A3 amendment to the amendment?
I do, Madam Chair. I really think of this amendment of having two components. One, there's the language that I'm happy to accept that's starting on line 1.19, prohibiting advertising that relates to candy or dessert or contains an image of alcohol or person consuming alcohol. I'm fine with accepting that language. There is some language on line 1.11. It would strike the word unverified. So now you wouldn't be able to advertise about any health or therapeutic benefits of the effect of consuming cannabis flower, cannabis product, or low-potency hemp edible. You know, we have a medical cannabis program in Minnesota. We want medical cannabis to continue. I think that this language about getting rid of unverified would make it that you couldn't communicate with people about the potential medicinal benefits of cannabis, despite the fact that we have a medicinal cannabis program, so I don't think it makes sense. So my oral amendment would be to reinstate the stricken language on line 1.11. If that oral amendment is adopted, my intention would be to accept the underlying A3.
Mr. Johnson, could you repeat the oral amendment for members?
Madam Chair, members, the oral amendment would be Representative Stevenson moves to amend the H4757A3 amendment as follows. Page 1, line 11, reinstate the stricken language.
Great. Members, any discussion to the oral amendment? Representative Odom?
As the maker of the A3 amendment, I support the oral amendment. And if the bill author is willing to take it with that, I think it strengthens our position of what we have discussed in this committee in the past.
Members, any further discussion to the oral amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, the motion prevails. No, all. But, okay, yeah, sorry. Today's the last day before break, members. I'm feeling it. All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion prevails and the amendment, oral amendment is incorporated to the underlying A3 amendment as amended. Any discussion? All right, seeing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A3 amendment as amended, A3 amendment to the amendment as amended is adopted. Representative Perryman, you have the A4 amendment to the amendment. Would you move and describe the A4?
Yes, I would like to move A4, and basically it's the intention is very friendly and just something that I thought was missing on the membership of the Cannabis Advisory Council. What I'm recommending here is the council is very extensive. The council consists of a variety of members representing governments, communities, and professions. But what I am recommending is an expert in clinical pharmacy, and the reason I recommend that is the intention to improve patient and public safety. And how that would be completed is this expert that I'm recommending will hopefully help provide more information on impairment, potency, and interactions between cannabis and other medications or alcohol. So it's a very friendly recommendation that would extend out the committee, but also, again, like I said, for patient and public safety in those areas of when medications or alcohol are involved with the user.
All right. Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, I would encourage a yes vote on the amendment.
Okay. Members, any further discussion to the A4 amendment to the amendment? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A4 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Representative Schultz, would you move and describe the A6 amendment to the amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, and for the members here, I do move the A6 amendment to the DE amendment, which would provide some additional clarity and additional restrictions in the section of the bill that relates to employees and would limit us to ensure that we are not allowing for illegal aliens or unauthorized aliens to be employed, as well as a few other general synopsis that would keep us from illegal aliens being beneficiaries of this legislation.
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, members, Representative Schultz said that this would provide additional restrictions. I have to disagree. It doesn't provide any additional restrictions. The reference here on line 1.5 is to federal law that prohibits undocumented people from holding employment already. So there's no additional restriction provided by this law, by this section, and I would encourage members to vote no. I think that we don't need this. It's duplicative, and I don't think it's necessary. That's for a no vote.
Members, any further discussion?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I will ask for a roll call on this and just ask for this additional oversight. Thank you.
A roll call being requested. We will have a roll call. Any further discussion, members? All right. The clerk will take the roll on the A6 amendment to the amendment. Chair votes. No.
Clerk Patiza Batun, no. Excuse me. Leo Driscoll?
Yes.
Leo Driscoll, aye. Representative Bierman.
Bierman, no.
Bierman, no. Representative Cha.
No.
Cha, no. Representative Dotseth.
Dotseth, yes.
Dotseth, aye. Representative Freiberg.
No.
Freiberg, no. Representative Cleavorn.
Cleavorn, no.
Cleavorn, no. Representative Kegel.
No.
Kegel, no. Representative Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no. Representative New Brindley.
Yes.
New Brindley, aye. Representative Niska.
Yes.
Niska, aye. Representative Perryman.
Yes.
Perryman, aye. Representative Farr.
Farr, aye.
Farr, aye. Representative Schultz.
Schultz, aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Stevenson.
No.
Stevenson, no. Representative Tabke.
No.
No.
There being 7 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does not prevail and the A6 amendment to the amendment is not adopted. Chair Stevenson, would you like to move and describe the A7 amendment to the amendment?
Madam Chair, members, I move the A7 amendment. This is a bill we heard on Monday from Representative Herr. Representative Herr was working on amendment language at that time, working with state agencies. It was not completed. It has been completed, but this adds the language allowing doctors to recommend cannabis for more broadly than the prescriptive list that's currently in law. It also allows for veterans to have access to medicinal cannabis.
Right. Members, any discussion to the A7 amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion prevails, and the A7 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Representative New Brindley, you have the A9 amendment. Would you like to move and describe?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Wow, that's loud today. I think you're going to like this one. So the A9 amendment, it's been a friendly group today. So the A9 amendment would just require that cannabis businesses be franchised and be subject to a 5% franchise fee. And then it would also allow city councils to seize a cannabis business by a majority vote of the city council. And I would request a yes vote. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative New Brindley, are fees taxes?
Madam Chair, yes, as defined in statute, they are indeed taxes. Actually, I would amend my comment. I would request a no vote.
Chair Stevenson.
Yeah, as much as I am amused by Republican advocating for taxes, I will ask members to vote no.
All right. Members, any Representative Niska.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative New Brindley. I would like to point out that I will vote against the rest of this, but I would like to vote in favor of, if possible, the title of this section. I think that's the best part of it. It looks like it might.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Figure out the acronym.
But if you'd be willing to divide the amendment, just vote for the title, I think I would vote for the title.
Representative O'Driscoll to the Freiburg amendment.
Huh, funny how that works out. I would encourage a no vote on this, but there is some seriousness to this amendment, and the seriousness is the work that we've done earlier is recycling and finding its way back into other areas, and that particular bill that this is modeled after is still a very disturbing bill to Republicans that by majority vote of the city council, you can seize a phone company. And this was done in the idea of jest, but the underlying measure on this was very important. And so we got another chance to talk about it in committee, and that was our goal.
Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I will just close with the comment that clearly we're having fun here. I will not vote. I will not support this. But it does. It's important that I think that everyone around the table recognizes the absurdity of this amendment. That's the point, right? The absurdity of this amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Newberling, would you like to withdraw that? Or yeah. Okay.
Yes, I'd move to withdraw the amendment.
All right. Very well. Next, we have the A10 amendment from Representative Schultz.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. The A10 amendment is an important amendment for us. It does go to several different pages on the bill, but let me just kind of explain the premise and the idea behind the A10 amendment. So I do move the A10 amendment to the DE1 amendment, and this amendment would provide additional guidance, description, and clarity for us that as we move forward with loans and a grant process for this section of statute, that as we move forward, that the dollars that we will be providing here to nonprofits and to companies in Minnesota, that they be Minnesota-based companies. So the dollars would benefit Minnesotans, which is what this amendment is about, and I would encourage its support.
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, members, I'm going to ask for a no vote on the A10 amendment. So this amendment modifies the CAN startup program, which is a program that DEED operates, not the Office of Cannabis Management. So this is more appropriately addressed in either the Economic Development or the Workforce Committees or a bill coming out of there. We don't, while this program was created in the cannabis bill last year, it's in the realm of DEED and economic development, not in the realm of cannabis regulation under OCM. So it's not within the jurisdiction of this committee, nor is it tied into this bill. If this amendment were adopted, we'd need to take the whole bill through either the Economic Development Committee or the Workforce Committee or both, which I'm, you know, we did 16 committee hearings on the bill last year. I'm not really interested in a repeat performance this year, so I'd ask for a no vote on this. And I don't have a comment on the substance of it. It just is better addressed in a different committee.
Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And my only question is, and I understand the point that the program generally is housed in DEED. How is it managed as it relates to the cannabis program? Is it managed through the Office of Cannabis Management?
Chair Stevenson.
Madam Chair, Representative New Brindley, I believe the answer is no. It's all DEED, and House Research is agreeing with me.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Representative Schultz.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry, Representative Cleavorn, and sure. Then I'll let you finish.
Well, I was just going to ask, if it's not in the jurisdiction, Madam Chair, of this committee, would the author be willing to withdraw the amendment?
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, especially with some of the bills that we've seen in the last week, not necessarily meeting the jurisdiction of this committee, I actually think that this language that added to the underlying bill and the DE amendment, I'd like to actually have a vote on this and take a strong position that our tax dollars and the money that's flowing through this program, that it go to Minnesota-based organizations, be that a nonprofit or a or someone who's operating for a profit, that if we're providing the loans or the grants to them, that this is a strong standard for us to set. You know, maybe we could have more discussion or dialogue around the table, including from research staff, to find out if there's a particular section of the new language that we brought up that certainly that would go outside the bounds. Maybe it's that section, and I'd be open to the discussion around on this amendment looking at is it the part that's on page three? So line 1.3 of the amendment, is that the most concerning part, or is it the definitions later in the bill?
Mr. Johnson?
Madam Chair, members, the chair ultimately decides what's in the jurisdiction of the committee. I'll note that this amendment does add several sections of law. You can see the new sections at page 1, line 4, page 2, line 15, page 3, line 1, and page 3, line 18. I can't give it further advice.
Thank you for that clarification. Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair, Representative Schultz, I don't really have a lot to add except for that it is not within the jurisdiction of the Congress. Those statutes are not. Maybe the last one, 342.73, but the earlier ones are quite plainly economic development statutes. And fundamentally, I don't want to take the bill through two more committees. So I'd ask for a no vote.
Representative Cleavorn.
Madam Chair, I would say this is most unusual for us to be voting in committee on chapters that are not within our jurisdiction. So.
Representative Schultz.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd move to amend my motion and to divide the amendment and separate the amendment between lines 3.16 and 3.17 and vote on those separately.
Okay. Representative Schultz moves to divide the A10 amendment. Mr. Chair, do you have thoughts, or should I go to Mr. Johnson for?
I would defer to nonpartisan staff if the amendment is divisible.
Very good. Mr. Johnson, can you advise whether or not the A10 amendment, the amendment is divisible?
Madam Chair, members, an amendment is divisible if the section that is being voted on can stand on its own. It's not reliant on the other sections. In this case, dividing the amendment between lines 316 and 317 would be divisible. You can vote on 317 to the end.
All right. Representative Schultz, your proposed division would separate lines 1.1 to 3.16. Members all in favor?
Aye.
Wait.
Mr. Chair,
just as a point of clarification, the amendment is divided and we're moving on the first section. Is that what we're voting on now? Are we voting on whether to divide?
I apologize. We do have to vote to divide the amendment.
I have no objection to dividing the amendment.
Okay. All right. Very well. Members, to the motion to divide the A-10 amendment to the amendment, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. The A-10 amendment to the amendment is divided.
Thank you.
So now
Thank you, Madam Chair, to the
first section of your amendment.
The first
amendment.
Section, I will withdraw the first section that we just divided. So I am withdrawing lines 1.1 to lines 3.16.
Okay. Members, Representative Schultz has withdrawn the first portion of the A-10 amendment, lines 1.1 through 3.16. To the second section of the divided amendment, 3.17 to lines 4.1, Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And I do move that section of the A-10 amendment. And just really encourage that our focus, our dollars be spent on helping Minnesotans, Minnesota companies, Minnesota nonprofits, and Minnesota consumers, which is why I bring forward this amendment. And I do appreciate the discussion on this. And I encourage support of this section.
Chair Stevenson, do you have any final thoughts on the second portion of the A-10?
Yeah, so thank you, Madam Chair. As I continue to look at this, this now is about the Can Grow program. So this is in the statutes that this committee has jurisdiction over. It's a program that's administered by OCM, but I do see that it is done in consultation and with the Commissioner of Agriculture. And so the question that I would need to have answered before I would be willing to adopt this amendment is whether it would require a stop in the Agriculture Committee. We don't have the answer to that question today. We'd have to consult with the chair. I'm going to ask for a no vote today. Happy to revisit this issue in the future. But today, I don't want to risk a stop in the Agriculture Committee.
Certainly. All right, members, further discussion? Representative Newbernley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of points that are a little bit frustrating. The idea that we are not going to take amendments to prevent further discussion on a bill, I think that's problematic. That's our job here. Our job is to make sure that we are coming up with the very best bill language we can do. And if that means that a bill should have a couple of additional committee stops, that's what we should do. That's literally our job. So it's concerning to me that we would shut down good policy based on not wanting further conversation. I think that's really problematic. And I would also say that, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about jurisdiction. I mean, we heard a bill last week that has nothing to do with the jurisdiction of the Commerce Committee, but here it sits. So I don't know that we're having a super honest conversation about this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Members, any further discussion to the Representative Cleburne?
Thank you. I think that impugning the actions of any member of this committee is unacceptable, and to say that any of our work is disingenuous is unacceptable. We all come to this table with good intent, and so I would just like to say that impugning people's motives or intentions is just not a good thing in this committee, and I would ask members to refrain from doing so in the future.
Madam Chair.
Representative Newbernley.
I literally just quoted a member, what they just said in this committee. That's not impugning anyone's motives.
All right, members, any further discussion? Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the committee's support for dividing this amendment. As I brought forward amendments to this bill and reviewed it, I'll be fully transparent in showing that this isn't my area of specific expertise. And so when we've had the chance to take up changes to the marijuana law from last year, look at changes that can benefit Minnesotans, take a look at social equity and the definitions that are at play in this underlying law, it is my full desire that Minnesotans are the ones who benefit from this. Both of the amendments that I've brought in today have been centered around that premise, that our dollars are going to support Minnesotans, Minnesota nonprofits, Minnesota businesses, and Minnesota consumers. That's my focus, and that's why at this time, Madam Chair, I'd like to request a roll call.
Representative Schultz requests a roll call. There will be a roll call. Any final discussion? All right, then the clerk will take the roll. Chair votes no.
Chair Cortez with two, no. Leader O'Driscoll.
Yes.
O'Driscoll, aye. Representative Bierman.
Bierman, no.
Bierman, no. Representative Cha.
No.
Cha, no. Representative Dotseth.
Dotseth, aye.
Dotseth, aye. Representative Freiberg.
No.
Freiberg, no. Representative Cleavorn.
Cleavorn, no.
Cleavorn, no. Representative Kegel.
No.
Kegel, no. Representative Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no. Representative New Brindley.
Yes.
New Brindley, aye. Representative Niska.
Yes.
Niska, aye. Representative Perryman.
Yes.
Perryman, aye. Representative Schultz. Excuse me. Representative Farr.
Farr, aye.
Farr, aye. Representative Schultz.
Representative Schultz, aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Stevenson.
No.
Stevenson, no. Representative Tabke.
No.
Tabke, no.
There being 7 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does not prevail, and the second part of the divided A-10 amendment to the amendment is not adopted. Finally, Chair Stevenson, you have the A-12 amendment to the amendment. Would you like to move and describe?
Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the A-12 amendment, and let it never be said I'm not consistent. This removes some sections that are within the jurisdiction of the Taxes Committee, and I do not wish to bring the entire bill through the Taxes Committee for this provision, and so I'm removing it. This was a Department of Revenue proposal that was included in the OCM's bill. So lest anyone feel targeted by my earlier comments, it's consistent. I don't want to take the bill through a lot of different committees. And I will just say, I'm not trying to shut down any conversation about things. Not every bill has to contain every subject and go through every committee. There's lots of other ways to raise an issue than amend one bill at one point.
Members, to the A-12 amendment to the amendment, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails, and the A-12 amendment to the amendment is adopted. Members, to the underlying DE-1 amendment as amended, any discussion before we adopt the D? Representative New Brindley.
I guess I can talk on final passage, whichever is your preference.
Sure. Let's go ahead and vote, members, to the DE-1 as amended. All in favor of the DE-1 amendment as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
The motion prevails, and the DE-1 amendment is as amended is adopted. We'll move to discussion on the final bill as amended. Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Stevenson. I'm trying to get, you know, I actually tried to prepare an amendment, but it was too complicated, and I get that, so it wasn't going to work. But I would actually be interested in Ms. Briner coming and talking a little bit more about the necessity of the lottery and the idea that that has been included because in other states, you had mentioned that that you didn't have the that they didn't have the outcomes when it comes to social equity applicants that were intended. So I'm wondering if you can tell us, can you explain that for us, and how this solves that problem, and how this is the only way to solve that problem?
Director Briner, join us again at the desk. You can introduce yourself again if you'd like and respond to the representative's question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, for the question. I think that one of the things we want to acknowledge is that there is no perfect system. And what we have seen in other states that have used a merit-based system or a lottery without the kind of protections or vetting that we are talking about in Minnesota, nationally, the statistics are not promising in terms of social equity outcome. Right now, 85% of businesses are owned by men, and 85% of businesses are white-owned, and 75% are owned by men. And so in terms of creating the sort of diverse marketplace and opportunity for a broad range of candidates and applicants, we've not seen the kind of success that clearly Chapter 342 is looking for us to achieve.
Representative Newbernley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So my question is, we are still focusing on social equity applicants and the lottery system. Couldn't we focus on social equity applicants and a merit-based system?
Director Briner.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative. We are looking at a lottery system for both social equity applicants and for general applicants. And we are looking at a well-qualified or well-vetted lottery that includes the merit-based components that already exist in Chapter 342. We do not propose removing any of the rigorous requirements for licensed applicants that are already included in 342. We also want to make sure that we are including additional protections against some of the concerns that we've heard about flooding the zone or multiple applicants or some of the advantages that larger multi-state operators may actually, or not just multi-state operators, that any applicant may use to try to gain advantage in the system. We really want a system that is treating applicants fairly based on their readiness, based on the criteria in Chapter 342, and then based on the vetted components that offer entrance into that lottery. We have heard some concerns, as I mentioned, we've heard concerns in committee, and we are committed to continuing to work on a system that actually lifts up Minnesota as a leader in this space. We've learned from other states, particularly most recently in Maryland and in Missouri, that there are mechanisms that we can put into place to offer some additional protections.
Representative Newbernley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess my follow-up then would be for Representative Stevenson. I mean, I articulated my concerns before, but, you know, I think the biggest concern here is that we have candidates who are social equity candidates for this, right, and who are checking the boxes. And listen, this isn't my thing. I don't care about this, right? Like, this is not my thing, but it's here. And so if this is going to be here, we want folks to be successful. And I think, you know, there are folks who qualify as social equity candidates who over the last year have been taking on a great deal of risk to prepare for this. And by now moving them into a lottery system, it puts them on the same playing field as folks who maybe have not put as much time into it and have not risked as much personally. And it's kind of pulling the rug out from a lot of these folks, which I think is really problematic. It seems like the solution really is focus on the social equity, but there has to be merit within that. It doesn't make sense for, I mean, there are folks who are much, much further down the pike, who are much more prepared, who have much more fleshed out business plans, locations, everything. But other folks are going to be on the same playing field when it comes to the lottery if they check certain boxes. And it's not enough. So I hope that maybe we can consider working on that as we move forward. But like I said, we couldn't get things prepared in time. But I think this lottery system really is problematic. And while it may, and in fact, I don't even know that it really does, because the lottery is being used for both social equity and the general population. So it's still a lottery either way. I don't know how a lottery does a better job at addressing social equity applicants than taking that bucket of social equity applicants and applying a merit-based system to ensure that they actually have the capability to do this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair Stevenson.
So I think the question I heard is, can we continue to work on this? And the answer is absolutely yes. I don't view that as a finished piece of the bill, and I'm happy to continue having a conversation. The comment that I want to make is that, you know, I think that the discussion is starting to be framed up as lottery versus merit, and I think that that's not the way that I would describe it in either case. I think both existing law and OCM's proposal contain both. It's a question of which, to what extent and what degree. So the existing law has a lottery in it, and that people should know that and understand that. It has a point-based system, but in the event that there are multiple applicants who have the same number of points and there are more people at that stage than licenses that can issue, the way the agency is supposed to decide who to give license to is by lottery. And I think most people expect that that's what would happen, that there would be a lottery among a group of people. OCM's proposal, which is in this bill, has a lottery, but you have to, I heard Director Briner call it a vetted lottery today. You have to satisfy certain criteria in order to be in the lottery, which is really not that different from saying you have to have this many points to be in the lottery. It's really a question of which boxes do you have to check? What do you have to do to make it into the lottery? I think that's the difference on that question. There are other differences, but on this specific question that we're talking about, the difference is which boxes do you have to check? What do you have to do to get into the lottery? And, we passed the bill last year, had a certain set of things. OCM suggesting a smaller set of things, and maybe where we end up is somewhere in between there. I think it's an ongoing conversation.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to add to this discussion. Again, as we've heard this topic debated in front of the Commerce Committee, we had a litany, and I do mean a litany of people who came down who were disappointed that they had already gone through all of this work and that they were having an application that was pending and that we are modifying the rules and they're going to be put back again in, with their business plan and different kinds of things. And there is, notwithstanding the subject matter of this bill, there is a business plan and there is money that people put in and they have to get, credit lined up and different things. We're dragging these people out in idling when they're not able to get a decision. And I think that they deserve a decision sooner rather than later about whether or not the work and the investment that they've done is going to come to fruition or not. And that's the part that I find frustrating is this bill didn't just drop out of the sky last year. It's been being worked on for years. And there was a reason why that was put in that provision. And the chair, as the chief author on this, gave it a lot of thought and put it in the bill. And people relied on that information. And now the rules are changing about how they're going to be selected. That's the part that I find frustrating if I was a person who wanted to get into a business. Not the subject matter of this bill notwithstanding. So I'm not a big fan of the subject matter in this, but I am a fan of fair play.
Members, any further discussion to House File 4757 as amended? Chair Stevenson, final thoughts.
Appreciate the discussion today, and I appreciate Representative Driscoll's comments and certainly agree that the bill didn't drop out of the sky last year. There was a lot of work that went into it, and a lot of people put a lot of thought into it. One of the things we did say last year a lot was that there would be additional changes coming. The thing I often say about this subject is that we are 100 years post-prohibition on liquor, and we are still making changes to the state's liquor laws. People should expect changes to the state's cannabis laws as they go forward. And so, we've learned things over the last few years, or the last year. Different ideas have come forward. Change is appropriate in light of that. And we're going to keep having those conversations and keep making changes, beyond the time that I'm even in the legislature, I'm quite sure. So we'll keep working on it. We'll try and get it right. And I appreciate the committee's attention.
All right. Members, Chair Stevenson renews his motion that House File 4757 as amended be re-referred to the State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. No. The motion prevails. House File 4757 as amended is re-referred to the State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee. Further, Chair Stevenson will move that nonpartisan staff be authorized to make technical changes to reflect the will of the committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails. Representative O'Driscoll.
And Madam Chair, before we adjourn, I just want to get a roadmap of what next week looks like since we are not here on Monday. We're coming in on Tuesday. And then guess what? We're all back again on Wednesday.
Chair Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative O'Driscoll. So as you mentioned, on Monday we're on break, so the committee will not be meeting that day. We will not be making up that time. So we're coming in on Tuesday, not for this committee, for for four sessions, but just so everyone's clear, there's no Commerce Committee meeting on Tuesday. We're meeting at our regular time on Wednesday. I anticipate doing an informational hearing on the amendment, on a significant amendment that was adopted to the sports betting bill in the State Government Committee. So the committee has a chance to see that work and understand what was done in the State Government Committee. That'll be informational only, as you and I have discussed offline. And then I expect to further hear at least two more bills. They're both secondary referrals. One is, I think, from Representative Bierman on a transportation issue. And the other one is from Representative Lee and relates to assisted living facilities. But they're both secondary referrals. They're other committees' work.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if we just get bill reference numbers, because we just want to be ready.
Members, there is nothing else on our agenda today. This meeting is adjourned. Have a lovely Easter break.